The up on page 194, volume 2, 194. And I think last week, and there's one sentence I want to reread. I think this is a really helpful sentence on page 193, because we're talking about these two different ways of expressing an understanding of how the Jubilee calculations work. And it said the law shows things as they would have been had Israel carried them out properly. That's the law way of calculating. But prophecy records things just as they will actually occur. And so the way we're looking at it now and finishing the understanding of the way the prophecies laid it out, we end up looking at these different numbers as they're shown and listed out here on page 194 and then the chart that's provided on 195. So we did read through at the close last week, at the close of the meeting, we read through these numbers starting with the sentence that says 19 cycles with Jubilees added, the 950 and so forth. So coming from there down to the bottom where the last entry is 3,449 years. So we have all these different events and additions of years to arrive at this 3,449 and how it turns into how we calculate to 1874. So I'd like to ask if somebody who would like to would just take and, you know, run through those numbers line by line and just maybe, you know, help to kind of restate what we're looking at here. You know, just put it to kind of re-express the way the numbers are laid out for us and what they're showing us. So somebody would like to do that for us. Just kind of a quick exercise in looking at these calculations real quickly again. Okay, I have a hand from Brother Bill or Sister Donna.
Yes, just so we're on the same page, I'm looking at a list of numbers that's just before the paragraph, the logical conclusion, and it starts with entering Canaan to the division of the land. What this list of numbers is going back to our study, I think it was study 2, some of the basic biblical chronology. And starting with Israel entering the land, and that's a very key point for us to begin at when we're talking about the Jubilees, because that's when they started counting the Jubilees. And so he's going through these periods that we've discussed before and linking it in to what we have determined as if there were 70 cycles. And so he just adds this all up, the 6 years of entering the land, then the period of judges, then the period of the kings. So you have the 450, the 513, and then the 70 years desolation. And the next thing it says, from there to the restoration, from the restoration to A.D., and he says 536. Well, we get the 536 from secular chronology, which agrees that Cyrus released the Jews and freeing them from their captivity in 536 B.C. So they're taking those years. That takes us to A.D. And then he's added those, what are they, five numbers together to come up with 1575. That, and then from there to 1874, you add all that up together and you get the 3449. That consists of 70 cycles. It consists of 19 whole cycles plus the 49 or the 51 more cycles, each one of those containing only 49 years. And that's the 2499 plus the 950 gives you the 3449. And so he's just tying this into the basic chronology and seeing how it synchronizes. This 3449 years really provides a bridge that ties together the basic chronology that we learned about earlier with the Jubilees. The Jubilees forms a bridge, a link, an external discipline that links nicely and synchronizes nicely with that former Bible chronology. Enough from me. Back to you.
Well, thank you, Brother Bill. Really appreciate that. You know, sometimes it's actually, I think, a little more difficult sometimes to put what we're seeing in text into words to kind of rephrase it. But you did a really nice job for us and appreciate that. And it is also, you know, nice and easy to follow as you go through these different lines and add up the numbers. You add it up to 1575, and then from 1575, adding on 1874 gives you 3449, which is our total number in the paragraph above that was calculated. And just one other thing, I just think it's kind of an interesting thing. It says to the period of the kings was 513 years. And, of course, that takes us to the last king. That was Zedekiah, who was removed from the throne and taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar back to Babylon, starting the 70 years of desolation. And so then the next entry is 70 years of desolation. So it all fits together quite easily. Let's go over to Brother John Blackwell.
Thank you. Appreciated Brother Bill's summary of that. Also, this chronology chart that we have with all the different five different prophecies and chronologies that we have in the second volume, that lays it out pretty well. And then, of course, on page 195, the next page, it covers that fairly well. But if we go backwards there on the middle of page 194, it says this period of 3449 reckoned from the entering of Canaan ends as the foregoing October AD 1874. So the very first one, from entering Canaan to the division of the land, and this really emphasizes that, this chronology chart, as well as the next page on 195. So from entering Canaan, the division of the land, that was 1575 BC. We subtract 6 years, we get to 1569. The period of the judges, 450, that gives us to 1119 BC. Subtract 513, and that, of course, gets us to period of the kings, as Brother Bill just mentioned, gets us to 606. And then the period of the desolation, 70 years, gets us to 536. And then from the restoration to AD 1 is 536 years. So I just thought it was interesting working backwards on those dates, and actually putting the dates down helps us a little bit with the calculation. And also the next page, 195, we could do the same thing there from BC 1575 to BC 625, and then the 70-year desolations and the counting of the jubilees from there to 1874. Over.
Very good. Thank you, Brother John. I've done that myself. Kind of do the math forwards, then do it backwards. You know, you can kind of start from either end you want to, and you still end up with the same solutions in the end. And they all really take you to the same ending, starting and ending point, which is starting with entering the land, and then ending at 1874 AD. And that's really the date that we're looking for. You know, this is the mathematical side of it and the equation side of it. But, you know, I was just thinking, as we were talking about in our manna, it's talking about the Lord resting from his works. But these works were all kind of orchestrated and planned and arranged for ahead of his resting from the works. But now they keep going on and keep unfolding and carrying out. And so, you know, it tells us that the Lord's plan is working out. It's still actually happening right in front of our eyes. And it was kind of interesting to me. I got to bring something up here. This just, find it. This, I just thought this is just another beautiful confirming thing for our day, that we're looking at the realization of some of the blessings of the restitution and the Jubilee at work. It's a story that just came out, and they're just approving it. I won't go through and read the details, but it's a genetic treatment that's being approved for hearing loss. For hearing loss, when people who are born deaf or because of defects, they're born deaf, and now they're coming out with a treatment that can actually repair the genes so that they're not born deaf. And they say it's released by Regeneron. It's a one-time therapy, remarkable hearing improvements. It's just one sentence from here. I've witnessed firsthand my trial participant responding to their mother's voice, dancing to music, and interacting with the world. And these moments are now possible for more children born with this specific form of hearing loss. This is like, you know, we're seeing it happening right in front of our eyes in so many different ways. So that's just another little story to kind of support what the Lord is carrying out in the work that we're reading about here. We're looking at it from kind of a computational side and trying to look at, well, we're getting to the right date. But then when we look back in the history and see, but what has been happening since that date is a fulfillment of our hope. It's a fulfillment of the Lord's promises. So the Lord is resting from his work, but the work is going on and allowing it to unfold as it was arranged. So a little sidebar. Let's go back to the math for a second. Let's go over the Ostranders first.
Go ahead.
It was taking 2026 and then 1874 from that. That's 152 years into the kingdom. That turns out to be, Bill said, like 3:30 in the morning. So we're seeing these early gleams of the kingdom, and we should lift up our heads.
Yeah, absolutely. It is early in the morning. And, you know, the fact is we see things unfolding, and it really should strengthen our faith and conviction that everything will ultimately play out just as we have our expectations. Now, trying to make things work exactly to a time clock that we might have expected or even wished for, that's not what we should be doing. We're watching to see the developments and watching for the Lord's unfolding of the process. Brother Jerry, please. There you go.
I'm sorry. Brother Brad, I'd like to just take a moment to maybe share something that could be, well, like different eyes see it differently or just a little more clearly. I'd like to share just one screen with a brief comment. So let me just share this. And I think it is this one. Okay. In this big rest day, within the middle part are the 19 jubilees. Here, I don't know if you can see the cursor, but it's this little loop in the middle. Maybe I can change this to another marker. I don't know. Yeah. And then the antitypical jubilee, according to the law, the previous definition was 50 times 50. According to the prophecy, it's 51 times 49 or 2499 years. So one leads to the beginning of 1874, and the other one ends at the end of 1874, which comes to 1875. Well, according to Jewish time, October. One leads to the end in October 1875, and the other one ends in October 1874. That's why Brother Russell says that, let's see if I can make that, it doesn't change the size, I guess. I'll go ahead and cancel that. But anyway, I just was looking at these two lines of prophecy has to do with the first 19 and the rest of them. One is 2500 and the other is 2499. Both marking that the beginning and the ending of 1874 to 1875. So this one, without going through all the numbers, just has a little picture of the, the two parts, and that kind of helped me a little bit. So if it helps anybody else or not, I don't know, but it's sometimes a picture is worth too many words. Over.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Yeah, I think having the different graphs are really, to me, very helpful. I really found, and I've gone back and looked at the ones that were put on our website several times, it just, I guess for some of us, we have to just look at again and again and then again. And then finally, you start to look at it and go, you know, I'm really familiar with this now. But even then, I still have to go back and remind myself and refresh. How does this work? And every time I do it, I feel satisfied at the end of looking at the charts and doing the calculation. So let's look at the calculation, the chart. Maybe somebody would like to say, is there anything that you want to note on page, the graph on page 195 that helps in a little, any different way? It's just kind of, I think, just another way myself of taking all the same information, just laying it out, like it includes the remainder 19 years there. That's not included on the way it's laid out on page 194. But is there anything anybody wants to point out that they found helpful on that graphic? Brother John, over to you.
Brother Brad, it was at a convention either in January or February of this year that Brother Larry McClellan of Orlando, Florida, gave a talk on the Jubilees, and he had some interesting diagrams, but it was just one of the nicest, easiest to understand talks on showing the difference, like what Brother Jerry has indicated, the two methods of calculation, but they both end in 1874, one at the beginning of the year and one at the end of the year. And, of course, the Jubilees is probably the strongest proof that we have here in the second volume of all the different prophecies that show our Lord's return in 1874. And I was just so impressed with Brother Larry McClellan's talk, and I forget which convention, but it was either January or February of this year, and it'll be on John Beeville's Christian Resources. Over.
That's nice. Nice to know, Brother John. Appreciate the referral there for anybody who hasn't seen that or heard it, and probably be worth taking a look at. And like you say, I think Brother Larry kind of laid it out very simply. Brother Walt.
This is a sidelight on your sidelight. I appreciated your rephrasing of Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And as we're all familiar, the marginal reading is leak out as a leaking vessel. That even things that, we know for sure, they do tend to get a little fuzzy unless we continue to go over them. And a kind of a subtext to that is that Hebrews 12:3 of the consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And the word faint there is relax. So we can get a little tired or lazy. At least I do. And so appreciated your underscoring the thought of us needing to stick with it, to rehearse these beautiful truths, because there have been some that started out in the way with energy and zeal, and they just kind of faded out. Over.
Well, that's unfortunately true, Brother Walt, what you mentioned. Sometimes I think we all have experienced certain seasons in life where we may get a little lax ourselves and not study as much as we maybe had normally been doing. And then we finally get ourselves forced back on our feet and start the study up again. And instantaneously, you feel that like you've been plugged into a wall outlet. It just happens so quickly that you start to feel the recharge. And I think that's how it works for most of us. And, when we have our studies together and or on our own, and I think about sometimes if we forget so much, we have to go over everything. I'm trying to remember how the account goes. There's a little story that somebody told one time about, my wife gave me lunch, served me a nice lunch every day. I couldn't always remember what they were after a week. I couldn't tell you what I was served for lunch a week ago. But I know that it was good and it nourished me. And so... It's not to maybe expect, some miracles every time we sit down to a study, but just realize it's kind of that constant nourishment and feeding on the spiritual things that keeps us strong, keeps us motivated, And it's so important to do. Don't want to skip too many meals. Thank you, Brother Walt, for your thoughts. Brother Bill or Sister Donna?
Yes. Just would like to deal with a little confusion that occurred in our thinking.
My thinking.
Sometimes Pastor Russell will be dealing with, and especially in the Jubilee chapter, he'll be dealing with a series of cycles. And we're familiar with the 50 times 50. And now he's also with from the prophetical standpoint, done a 51 times 49. And these begin where the typical cycles ended. They begin at the last Jubilee that could have been observed. And then he'll switch without sometimes letting us know, he'll switch to another chronology that deals with the 70 years desolation and how that ended the period of kings and that's another chronological timeline that has different beginnings. And it helps to remind ourselves of this 19-year gap mm-hmm. between the beginning of these cycles, 50 times 50 or 51 times 49. They begin in 626 BC. And the beginning of the 70 years, which is 606, that's that 19-year mm-hmm. gap. And that was a bit of confusion
for me, yeah.
For Sister Donna. And so the reminder of this 19 years, and this is nicely outlined for us alongside this table. There's several different additions, and one of them starts at 6 years, then it goes through the period of Judges, period of Kings, and it stops there and totals those up, and it's 1969. To the desolation. But the 19 Jubilees, 19 times 50, is only 950. And subtracting those two numbers, you get the 19-year difference. And so just having that number 19 in the background helps you transition between two different timelines that are synced together by that 19-year gap. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Bill. I'm glad you pointed that out, because that to me is one of the helpful things that I think Brother Russell was trying to clarify on that chart, and to point that out. And you know, I've wondered, it really, in my mind, kind of, because there is that separation between 626 and 606, it kind of tells my mind to say, you know, look at the 70 years for its own lesson. It didn't start right at 626. The 70 years started 19 years later. And so the 70 years of complete desolation and the land lying rest and so forth, kind of get that fixed in your mind, is what the Lord had intended for us to learn about the land having its rest. And, but the math is all laid out there on that left column there, so it's easy to understand. And then I think it was brought, maybe Brother Jerry brought it out several weeks ago, that there's two 19s involved. There's the 19 cycles that were kept, and then there's the 19-year remainder. And don't get those confused, because they're not the same thing. They're two to be handled. You know, they're two different points that are being made. Anyone else want to add any explanation, anything that helped you on this chart on page 195? Well, Brother Bill gave us a nice explanation there. Thank you for that help, Brother Bill. And I guess if anybody wants to refer back to this or you have any questions, you can certainly always come back to it. I'll just make one note just for ease of reference. This chart by prophetic calculation is here on page 195. The same similar layout of a chart is on page 186, going according to the law calculation. So you can kind of flip back and forth 186 to 195 if you ever want to compare those two examples. So I think we'll go ahead and read on, starting at the bottom of 194. And Brother Bill Thacker, can I ask you for reading the bottom of 194, starting the logical conclusion, all the way over onto the pretty long paragraph for us?
Okay, I'll take a deep breath. Thank you, Brother Brad. The logical conclusion, if these matters are accepted as a divine arrangement, is easily drawn. And if not divinely arranged, whence came they? We do not put them into the inspired word. We merely find them there in all their simplicity and beauty. And like all the other precious and rich food from the storehouse, which our Lord is now serving us according to his promise. And reference Luke 12. This is nourishing strong meat, not especially intended for babes in Christ, but for those more developed who have their senses exercised, as it's shown in Hebrews 5. To discern and appreciate this meat now in due season, if not of divine arrangement and intended for our instruction, how and why come the double proofs, matching and corroborating each other so perfectly? To convince yourself of their divine arrangement, notice that in no other place and way can these 70 years of Sabbaths and desolation be made to harmonize with the 50 times 50 cycle of the Great Jubilee. Try it. Prove it. Suppose either a mistake or a change of one of the 19 Jubilees kept by Israel. Suppose that 18, that is one less, or 20, one more, had elapsed before the 70 years desolation began. Calculate. And you will see that these two lines of evidence, which so perfectly unite in the testimony that 1875, beginning October AD 1874, is the date of the beginning of the times of restitution, and the date, therefore, from which we may know that the heavens no longer retain our Lord, the great restorer, cannot be united elsewhere without doing violence to themselves, to the chronology, and to other prophecies yet to be examined. Over. You're muted, Brother Brad. You're muted.
Sorry. No, thank you for reading that for us, Brother Bill. I was just saying to myself, with the microphone closed, that It's nice when you have the reading and the inflection and the voice are catching the points, which you did a really nice job, I think, kind of making the key points understandable. And Brother Bill, do you have any thoughts you want to mention from the paragraph? Anything you want to that stood out for you? There's a lot there.
Well, first of all, I like the sentence that I read. I've got it underlined that these matters of both the proving the jubilees with the law and with the prophecies. We find they're simple and they're beautiful, and just like other things that are in God's rich storehouse. And the fact that we've been going over this very carefully and really getting into all the nitty-gritty, so to speak, shows it's intended for those that want their exercises developed with a strong meat and understanding these things, and the double proofs of showing that they corroborate one another, and if you just change one thing, so it's a less number for the jubilees celebrated, or one more, you're not going to come up with the same date. And so I like Brother Russell's inflection. Try it. Prove it for yourself, and you'll see that there's no other way of confirming when the times of restitution is to begin. Over.
Yep. Thank you, Brother Bill. Try it. Work it out. Prove for yourself. And that's really all that we can do. Each one of us has to take the information that's given. And Brother Russell saying, hey, I'm pulling this stuff out of thin air. It's there. I'm just pulling it together. And yet it still falls to each individual person to make the proof of it for themselves, to their own mind and to their own conviction. And that's how it is with, you know, all of the truth that we study, really. Brother John, over to you for your comment.
Just to confirm what Brother Bill said, that last sentence in that paragraph that he read, it says, calculate, and you will see that these two lines of evidence, which so perfectly unite in the testimony that 1875, beginning October AD 1874, is the date of the beginning of the times of restitution. Like, some brethren can't seem to understand that the times of restitution didn't begin in 1874. Brother Russell couldn't make that any clearer than that sentence. He says, it's the date of the beginning of times of restitution, and the date, therefore, from which we know that the heavens no longer retain our Lord, the great restorer, cannot be united elsewhere without doing violence to themselves, to the chronology, and to other prophecies yet to be examined. So it's just a beautiful sentence saying, hey, times of restitution began in 1874. And the Jubilees is probably the major proof of all the five major proofs we have in the second volume that the Lord's presence began in 1874. Over.
Yeah, thank you, Brother John. It does seem pretty straightforward on what we're reading. Anyone else on what Brother Bill had read on that paragraph? I looked at the double proofs are mentioned. We looked at the law, calculation according to the law, and then the calculation according to the prophet. There's this one other calculation that it's not discussed in the study, but it is on the chart that I referred to that's on our webpage. And it starts at the same date, 626 BC. So we have the same starting point. And then it goes through 70 cycles of 50. We have that 70 given us in the land lying rest. And so that's where we get our number that we're, you know, used to understand all these calculations. But it starts out at the same point and then goes through 70 times 50 cycles. And then if you take off the 626, that's 3,500, and then you 70 times 50, 3,500. Take off the 626 years BC takes you to 2874. So that really takes you to the end of the 1,000 years. Just another confirmation, I'd say. I put that in there. I've got a little note in my margin, third proof. It talks about the two proofs, and to me, that's a nice third proof as well. Over to the Ostranders, please.
Go ahead.
Well, I think understanding why we have these proofs at top of 196, I'm going back to Matthew 24:45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord have made him ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. And this is why we have this faithful servant of the Lord who gave us these chronology proofs. And Psalms 104 verse 27 says, these wait all upon thee that thou mayest give them their meat in due season again. And then I was thinking that, I think some of the brethren maybe get, discouraged, but we look at Proverbs 2, talks about, if we would understand, apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. So, though our understanding, looking at this, it seems clear to us, you have to understand, you have to meditate on it, you have to think about it, and it is hid treasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Donna. I think you hit it. Important nail on the head. It is like hidden treasure. You have to dig for it. You have to take the time and really visit and revisit it. This kind of reminds me of one time, and Sister Marilyn sitting here next to me, as she'll remember this, when my oldest son was probably about 17, maybe 16, might have even been 15, that kind of foggy, exactly how old, but he had a friend, and his friend, his name was Jason. And we took Jason to the meeting with us one Sunday, and we were talking about some chronology study, doing a little calculations. And we left the meeting, and now Jason, pretty bright, he's pretty smart young man, and I thought, well, this will be interesting. To find, what did you think, Jason? You know, it's like we got into some kind of technical things, but a really good Bible study. And what did you think? And Jason said, well, I think you can make numbers do anything you want. If you play with them enough, you can come up with any answer that you're looking for. So that's one person's way of looking at it. And you know, I don't think that it's not for us to have to convince others what we see here. It's I kind of go back to the beginning of what Brother Bill read on that paragraph. If not divinely arranged, whence came they? We do not put them into the inspired word. We merely find them there. And so that's what we're looking at. We're looking at inspired scripture. And we're trying to understand how we can explain it and understand it clearly and what the consequences and the results are. So for somebody who looks at it and says, well, you can make numbers do anything you want, I just say, well, we'll talk again someday. you know, it may be in the long distant future, but not everybody's going to be, you know, enthusiastic about it or see it. But we do take these things by the eye of faith. And I really think that, you know, like Hebrews 11:1, it says faith, the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So there is substance. We have evidences. We're still living by faith. But we have our faith well anchored. And things of studies like this to me are, you know, they're not really, the Lord could have made it more plain, but I think he wanted, as was brought out, he wanted those who were going to go digging in the mine and searching for the gold, searching for the truth. So I think it's a blessing to study these things out. And I know that they're a challenge at times to go through the chronology and the numbers because they are a little bit more, I mean, you got to really mold your brain around them to try and, you know, make them work sometimes. But when you do, the reward is there for spending the time and effort. And I think that we're getting close to the end of our hour here. So there's time for another comment if anybody wants to kind of, you know, add anything in, share an additional thought, but I don't think we'll read any further because the time is nearly at an end. We'll mark our books down for the bottom paragraph. It's actually paragraph one on 196, but it's at the bottom. So page 196, paragraph one. We'll pick up there on the next Sunday meeting. Any other thoughts, any other kind of summaries? I think we're, other than, you know, a little bit more results of this understanding, I'll say the philosophy of the Jubilees. Some people don't like the word philosophy. They think maybe have some negative connotations, but philosophy is a good word. Philo, the love of, and Sophia, wisdom. So it's the love of wisdom, philosophy of, I think we're looking at the philosophy of the Jubilees here. And that's kind of where we go into the next paragraphs. But it really is, it's the important part. So Lord gives us these pieces of information so that we can be led to the conclusion of what it means, the restitution. And that's the blessing that we look for. Sister Robin, over to you, please.
Well, it's just a comment question. So see how we do. What I think happens is as we understand the truth, we read other things as we seek the cooperation by other things we see. And I came across that startlingly. I was reading what Universal Zionism, that book. I've been working my way through it. And I came across a comment about Solomon's temple. And I was really surprised how this corroborated the Jubilees. And what it was is he mentioned that there were 10 candelabras that were in the temple. And he goes, each candelabra has 7 lights. So 7 times 10 is what? 70. Have you ever heard of that as corroborating the number of Jubilees? Because Solomon's temple is a picture of the kingdom. Over.
Yeah, and you know, it just makes me think of there's so many things that we are unaware of, maybe haven't learned, but we'll be amazed at all the scriptural understanding and explanations of things and things that even, you know, maybe were in the cosmos or things that the Lord had arranged for, but we have no idea of. But we will, if we're faithful, he'll give us that understanding of all science and all things that need to be understood. Brother Bill, over to you, Sister Donna.
This is just a little interesting sidelight. And I think this has been mentioned before, but it's a note in the Most Holy Faith page on this page. And I'll read it. It is interesting that if we were to use the same method of calculating, that is squaring, but instead of 50 times 50, exclude the Jubilee year and multiply 49 by 49. The result is to point not to 1874, but to 1776. And they have a picture here of the Liberty Bell. And on the Liberty Bell, the date 1776 is stamped on the Liberty Bell. What? And liberty is an element of restitution. So it's just an interesting side note that kind of ties in here.
What page in Our Most Holy Faith?
This is not the book, Our Most Holy Faith. Oh. This is a website, Most Holy Faith, that has this note.
Okay.
And that note is, I know in the Most Holy Faith website, there are some extra thoughts sometimes on the far right side of the page. What verse is that attached to, Brother Bill? You're muted.
It's right underneath the chart of, I'm in volume 2 and on page 193, 194, 195, right in there. And that note is right in that area. So I'm in the volume looking at the volume paragraphs. And this note occurs just before where we start reading next time. So it's not keyed to a scripture.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Where did you get that?
Sister Arlene, over to you. Nice to see you. The last couple meetings you've had, just listening, but glad to hear you're back in action.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling well the last few meetings, but I'm fine now. Just an interesting note about the Liberty Bell. On the Liberty Bell is inscribed, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And that's a scripture, Leviticus 25:10. I thought it was kind of interesting when Bill mentioned the Liberty Bell. Of course, in those days, you could do that. People had confidence in the scriptures, and this is Old Testament, so it wouldn't offend anybody. I mean, if they were Jewish. I just thought that was sort of interesting.
Yeah. Thank you for that extra note. Appreciate that. Well, I think we'll conclude the meeting there. Thank you for your helpful comments and helpful explanations of the charts for everybody who shared their thoughts. We appreciate it. And, we have